Well, surprise, Pastor, it's not Ruth. I'm sorry. What happened was last time I spoke on Ruth, and then when the pastor talked to me, and he asked if I would speak, and then he says, well, you can finish Ruth, and I said to Darwin, I think I did it all. And so then I thought, well, he'll forgive me for talking about God. I think that's an important topic, that's for sure. You know, this morning as we were singing, and I mean, I hear every time somebody comes up here to preach the same thing, you know, it's like we talked to you guys ahead of time, or I did, and you brought in all the right songs and you did everything just right. You know what blessed my heart today as I was sitting at the back? It's kind of nice to sit at the back. I used to sit at the front all the time. Now I moved to the back. You get to see the people entering in. And there is Janice just loving the Lord with little Ailey. And boy, that blessed my heart. You know, like, I think sometimes we need to get out of our ruts and let go. And, you know, sometimes the Lord will move on us and we will literally dance. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I grew up thinking there was. I grew up in a home where you don't dance, you don't, of course, you don't drink. I mean, that was just a given in our home. But you don't dance because it's wrong. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, sometimes we don't have a choice. And he will move on us so powerfully that we step out and dance. And Mom told me one time when I don't even know if I was alive yet, and my grandma, she was just a little lady, and they had a church service, and she said one night Grandma had her eyes shut. There was people laying all over the floor slain by the Holy Spirit, and she was dancing and stepping over everybody with her eyes shut. Now that's the Spirit. And, you know, so that's what I thought of this morning. I thought, go, Janice. Anyway, I'll get to my sermon here. You know, when the pastor asked me to speak, I thought of Ruth when he asked me, and then I thought, well, I'm kind of done that one, but not done forever. I mean, there's always more to say. But I just thought, Lord, what would you have me to say today? And so through the week, I started jotting things down, just things that came to my mind. And I thought, okay, well, that's awesome. And, oh, thank you, Lord, for that thought. And I'd started writing them all down. And then I sat down, and I was going to write it all out. And then I just had a total block. Yes, I had all these thoughts, but how do I put them together? And I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I said to Darwin, I got to preach, and I don't know how to start this thing. So anyway, he says to me, Judy, he said, settle down, just pray. Oh, what an idea, hey? So I just sat at the table. I put my hands in my head, my head in my hands, and I just said, Lord, I need you. I need you every minute of every day, I need you all the time, and I need you right now just to give me something that will be from you, not from who I am, but from who you are, Lord. So as I wrote, I've got 15 different things I want to talk about, so we're going to be here a while. Just kidding. I had a bunch of stuff I was writing down, and then I just thought, Lord, you know, and just open my mouth to speak your word. So I pray that now the Lord just will bless the hearts of this beautiful congregation, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, I am going to read a little bit more than I did last time because the last time I flew through this sermon and I want to learn to settle down and just enjoy what the Lord has. I don't just want to speak well. I want to speak what the Lord has directed me in my life. I want to tell you about the God that I serve. He is infinite. And I looked up what that word meant, and it meant limitless. It meant vast. It meant inexhaustible. Now, I was a mother of three little kids, and I know what exhaustion is. He is inexhaustible. He can go on and on. He can hear all of our prayers. He can be with us. He just is always there. I don't even know how to explain the word inexhaustible. It is just a phenomenal God we serve that loves us that much, that he's there for us all the time. He is personal, which means he interacts with us. We can pray to him. We can worship him like we did this morning, and it's not just in church. I go for walks, and I go out in the back of our property by the river, and I just put my hands in the air, and I don't care who sees me. Lord, thank you for where we live. Thank you for the weather, like Karen said, the snow. Thank you, Lord. He's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but he has a perfect plan. He wants us to worship him, obey him, love him, trust him. He can speak to us. And he rejoices in us. You know, when we do something right, he is just as pumped as our parents are. You know, just, and he loves us. And boy, does he love each and every one of us. I was reading this book that we have in our Bible study, and Systematic Theology is the name of it. And it said in there, no system of religion has a God who is both infinite and personal, and he is so much more to me. We can trust him in everything, and that is what I am going to talk to you about today. So I'm going to start with that he can speak to us. I want to tell you about a story about my sister Joanne and my grandmother. And Joanne was taking my grandmother to Red Deer, where she lived, and they were driving, and Joanne had to get gas, so she stops at the gas station, and Joanne's out there pumping gas, and on the other side of the pumps is this biker on this big Harley, you know, the leathers and a tough-looking guy and the whole nine yards. And Joanne goes in to pay, and she comes back out. She gets into the car, and where's Grandma? I can't see Grandma anywhere. And if anybody knew Grandma, you'd know where she was. She was over talking to this biker and asking him if he knew Jesus. And I mean, I thought when I heard Joanne told me the story, I thought, I think my knees would be knocking and I'd be, excuse me, sir, do you know Jesus? But not Grandma. She had such a way about her that I don't care who you were, you could see the love in her as she came towards you, and you knew she had something to tell you, and you were going to listen, because I'm sure the biker just out of respect. But I also believe that when we do step out in faith and we do what the Lord calls us to do, that he prepares the hearts of the people that we're going to talk to. And so Grandma, just after she was done talking to the gentleman, she jumps back in the car and off they go. And you know that I can be more like that. That's a prayer of my life. Just step out in faith and don't be so scared of people. What are they going to say? Who cares what they're going to say? I am representing Christ. I want to tell you who I serve. I love him. I want to shine for him. But I'm not completely there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect, and I don't sometimes step out when I should. But you know what? The Lord loves me anyway. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know? Yeah, so I got to find where I am in the story here now. It says, how many of us, when the Lord tugs on our hearts, we just shake it off, and we think, next time, Lord, I'm busy. I got to get my groceries. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I'm just too busy. And yet, you know, maybe that person just needed to hear a positive word. Maybe that person just needed a simple smile. And we just have to remember our lives are busy, but they're as busy as we make them. And we need to learn to slow down and listen to what the Lord has for us to say, and step out and talk to that biker if that's what the Lord has for you to do. Sometimes, the next one is that we can trust him. Sometimes we feel it is easy to trust God, and other times when we are going through tough times, whether it's spiritually, personally, or watching loved ones go through tough times, it can be very difficult. Relationships will break down, people will mistreat us and turn against us. And we may even say to God, where are you? where are you, God? Have you ever done that where you just feel like, oh, man, the world's falling apart, in my life anyway? But, you know, it's so wonderful that we serve a God that isn't in the tomb. He has risen. He is there for us. I am so thankful. Well, I tell you this, that is the truth, that God is there right beside you, holding you when you cry, walking with you through the hard times, and later when you look back at some of the struggles that you've been through in your life, you can see how much his hand really was on your situation and how much he guided your footsteps. As you were struggling in your faith or going through heartache or pain, and how he brought you on solid ground. And I bet everyone here can attest to that. I know, Gordon and Madonna, we have talked so much with them about times that they've gone through, and Darwin and I talk amongst ourselves about different things. Every one of us has a struggle here. There's only one answer, and that's Christ. It doesn't matter. We cannot do it on our own. And I wish, I speak to myself, I wish I could get that in my head sometimes. This God loves us so much that he wants to be involved in every facet of our life. Like, how awesome is that? Just phenomenal. Like, it's just phenomenal. In 1 Peter 4:12, the Bible speaks to us. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you to test, as though some strange things were happening to you." When you get in the middle of something, you think, what in the world? I serve the Lord. What's up with this? You know, we do. We do because we just think because we belong to the Lord, that there's not going to be trouble. Well, there is. And thank the Lord for the trouble. Not at the time. I get that. But the Lord will walk us through it. He is with us. I know, just like you do, that life is not perfect. But remember that we do serve a God that we can trust and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he will get us through whatever valley we seem to go in and out of through life. He'll get us through it all. And he does. I'm a living testimony. He does. Then also, another thing we can do is we can have a relationship with God. John 14:23 says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Our abode, our home. The Lord wants to make his home with me, you know, and with all of us. It says God created us to have a relationship with him, one that lasts forever. He wants us to talk to him and tell him when we're hurting and disappointed and thank him for all the blessings as well. And I think that's such an important part. I know sometimes, you know, we forget about all the things he does. And that's just one thing my husband and I, every morning when we have time together, we just sit and think, man, Lord, you are so good to us. You have blessed us so abundantly. And, you know, other people might look and say, well, you might not have this and you might not have that. I don't care. I have everything. I do. I have everything in the Lord. We can't hide anything from God. He already knows everything. He just wants us to talk to him. Just like any relationship, if you don't talk and can't be honest, there's not much of a relationship. A wonderful thing about God is that even when we fail him time and time again, he forgives us and he loves us. And when we read his word and obey it, he promises to make his home with us. We can't ask for anything more than that. Christ living within us. That's just powerful. Just powerful. God is calling each one of us, like a loving father, to change our self-centeredness to Christ-centered. Change our thinking patterns. Instead of everything revolving around what makes us feel good and what we can do, the Lord can help us to focus on him and what he wants us to do for him and others. If we are lacking joy, try blessing someone else and see what happens. The wonderful thing is that we need the Lord's help even to want to change our self-centeredness. Isn't that cool, eh? Like, we think we can do it. What a joke. We can't. We have to just trust in the Lord. Lord, show me what I need to do. We can simply just pray and ask the Lord to change our hearts, our attitudes, and mold our will to his perfect will, because his will is perfect. In the end, we are the winners because we are following the Lord to move. We are allowing the Lord to move in our lives. Romans 8:28. I'm just going to take a little drink here. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Everyone that has given their heart to the Lord has a purpose. We all have a purpose here, and like the pastor says, there's so many different things we are all good at, and when we do them for the Lord, man, there's some joy here, I tell you. I have another story to tell you about my nephew Ewan. Now, I might get a little teary-eyed, just warn you now. When he was born, he was born to my youngest brother. My youngest brother was like one of my kids because he was, when he was born, I was 14, so he was my little buddy. Anyway, when he had a son named Ewan, and when I went to the hospital to see Ewan after he was born, I looked at him and I said, "Man, the Lord has a call on that baby's life." And don't ask me how I could see that. It was just the Lord. So anyway, I kept saying to his mother, Riona, there's a call on your son's life, and I don't know what's going to happen with that boy, but it's powerful. Well, anyway, he as he grew up, normal kid, give his mom lots of trouble, probably his dad too, but his mom's the one I talk to the most. And she would phone me and she'd say, "Oh, Judy," she said, I "some days I just don't know what I'm going to do with him." And I said, "Riona, whatever you do, just go on your knees to the Lord. The Lord has got a call in that little man's life, and just pray him into that call, like pray him into what the Lord's got for him." And, you know, she had her struggles just like any parent. All of us can attest that life isn't easy. We want to do the absolute best for our kids. And sometimes we have to really get after them and discipline them. But Ewan grew into a fine young man. He's 19 now. And where he is right now, I think he's actually coming home today. He's in India serving the Lord. He went with his he's going to Bible school, and they went over there for 6 weeks, and he was pumped to go. He came and visited with Darwin and I before he left, and he was just pumped to go and do for the Lord. And so anyway, about the last couple years, him and another young fellow in Pincher Creek have been leading young people that do not know the Lord. This is the cool thing. They've been getting kids that they go to school with to come over to their place and do a Bible study. Like, you know, I mean, that's the Lord. Anyway, they pray. They do the alpha for the young adult, like the teen alpha. I don't know what it's called, but yeah. And they did that, and then they started praying. And they would get so into praying that they would go so far into the early hours of the morning that Riona had to come downstairs and says, "These kids have to go to school tomorrow. You have to tell them to go home." And yet, you know, Riona said, "I felt so bad because, I mean, they're praying, but they've got to go to school, you know." So anyway, the kids would all go home. They'd come back every week, and Riona would phone me, and she says, "Man, Judy, they're eating me out of house and home," because she would, I mean, you know, a bunch of teenagers. So then Darwin and I baked up, four different kinds of cookies and took them down to her and says, "Here, you can feed them one night," probably is all it would be. Anyway, they just got on their knees before God. They prayed and prayed. And so as things are going, as they're going through the program and they're praying, this one young fellow that was coming, most of these kids didn't know the Lord, like I said. And this young man, he had real trouble reading in school. And you know, sometimes there's some kids that just go through school and they really struggle. Anyway, this was one of those people, just a wonderful young man, struggled with reading. So anyway, Ewan said to him one day, he says, I have a Bible. Can I give you this Bible? And the boy, yeah, sure, I'll take the Bible. Well, Ewan said he sat down on the couch and he opened it and he started reading, and he just couldn't get enough. It was just like he was so thirsty, just reading and reading. Riona got a phone call from his mom about a week later, and she says, what's happening there? My son can read. Literally, he could read, and he struggled reading. Now, that is our God. He opens our understanding, our eyes. There was another young man there, and I've heard about it, but I haven't seen much of it. You know how kids like to cut themselves for some unknown reason. I think we got enough pain in life, we don't need to cut ourselves. But anyway, he cut his arms all up terribly, and I'm not sure, I think it was his legs too, but I know his arms for sure. Anyway, when they were done praying one evening, the boy got up and he looked at his arm and there wasn't a scar. And his arms were, Ewan said his arms were covered, Auntie, and there was nothing. That is the power of God. Now, to me, like, wow, that's who we serve. He heals. He loves. I am so blessed. So Ewan now, you know, he's in Bible school and just loving the Lord and praying so much. And I think that's something, you know, after he came and visited with us and we just heard everything about him, I said, Lord, give me more of a desire to pray, because Ewan's just so in touch with the Lord. He'll be standing in a lineup at the grocery store and a guy ahead of him, and he'll say, are you suffering from a headache? And the guy, how did you know? Well, I just felt the Lord tell me that. And I thought, wow, Ewan, like, wow. And why can't all of us do that? Why can't we all do that? We can. It's not just for the special few. The Lord's got it for all of us. Isaiah 53:5, it said, he was pierced through for our transgressions, so our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities, our injustice. The chastened, which is disciplined, of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourges we are healed. And, you know, there are a lot of people that need healing, and I don't understand why everybody doesn't get healed, but I do know our God is very wise, and he knows what he's doing, and we just have to put our faith into him. It says, I wrote here, what a great love the Father has for us, that he would send his only Son to go through all of this, knowing that it was our only means of salvation. We definitely need to pray for the Lord to help us understand his fullness and completeness, giving fullness and complete giving of himself for us. We get just a small glimpse of what he has done for us, and we are bound to change. Just if we just get a little inkling of all the Lord has done, what that does, what joy that gives us, and just get in there and pray and ask the Lord, reveal to me all that you've done for me. It just changes our lives. It really does. Ask God to show you what is keeping you from entering a closer walk with him and trusting him completely. Ask him to give you the strength to do his perfect will. In Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what the will of God is. We need to pray for our pastor. He showed us these books, and he's giving them out to the congregation, and we need to remember to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for our loved ones, and I know we all are. There's no questions there. And our friends, that the Lord's will be done in their lives, and then allow the Lord to work. Now, that means sometimes that we have to take our hands off. No sticky fingers, and boy, I have sticky fingers. I pray for my kids, I pray for my neighbors, I pray for people in the church, and then I want to take it back, and I want to, well, I can help you with that. I'll give you a hand with that. And, you know, sometimes we do need to. I'm not saying we don't, but sometimes we need to just allow the Lord himself to do the work in their lives, because that's a work that is lasting. We must also allow the Lord to take the people who we are praying for on a journey with him. There will be heartache and disappointment, which nobody seems to escape in this life. The Lord will be there for them as he has promised. In Hebrews 13:5, the verse ends, at the end of the verse, it says, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What a promise. That verse has been a real blessing to me time and time again. Yeah, I know I've told you this before, but I get little recipe cards, and as I'm reading through the Bible, and you know how verses just jump out at you and grab your heart, and I write them on a recipe card, and then I write the date on, and sometimes I go back and I read them quite often, and sometimes I'll look at the date and I'll think, man, what was going on that day? You know, that just blew me away, and then that verse isn't quite so impacting that day, and then a while later I'll read it again, it just hits me again, you know. That's how the Lord speaks to us through his word. He gives his word, we read it, and allow the Lord to really move in our lives. Getting on our knees and seeking the Lord is a very important part of a close relationship with him. We need it, and we need to get on our knees, and he loves when we do it. I love to pray for people, but sometimes I feel that they can't depend on my prayers alone. They also need to pray. I sometimes feel the need to rescue people, especially the ones that I love. I don't want to see them go through hurt and pain. But I also know that through it all, the Lord has a plan. I can honestly say thank you, Lord, for walking me through those valleys and loving me so much. Trusting in Jesus is the only way. And you know, like I say again, it's not that I don't love to pray for people, because I love to pray for people. But sometimes there's some people that call me all the time, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? It's not that I don't want to pray, and I will. But you get on your knees and talk to God, because that's where the relationship builds. That's what we need, is that relationship. 1 Peter 5:10, it says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Wow. Like, you know, sometimes these scriptures, well, they just speak to me. That's the long and the short of it. They just show me that I'm not alone. I just need to put my faith in God, because he has always been there. He will always be there. And he is so good, such a good God. God loves us so much, he sent his son Jesus. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way. Christ is the means of access to the Father. We can't get there any other way but through Christ. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And he was talking about the sheep at that time, so it's not that we're out to pasture yet. He says, I am the truth. Christ is the word full of grace and truth. In John 1:14, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am life, Jesus says. Christ came to give us life, and not just life, but abundant life. Abundant life. For those of you who don't feel your life is so abundant right now, doesn't mean it's not coming. We're learning in the situations we're in. That's why we're going through it. The Lord takes us through hard times, easy times, where we feel like we're falling apart. But God promises us abundant life. He promises that to us. And he doesn't go back on his word. I might, but he doesn't. And so we trust him. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's his promise, that he promises us abundant life. Now I know I'm supposed to probably go a whole lot longer, but I just want to say, you know, if there's anybody here that doesn't know the Lord today, doesn't have that abundant life even, doesn't feel that, kind of feels that they're alone or struggling, you know, you can talk to the pastor, you can come up here later and be prayed for, you won't regret it. God is a God that loves, and when we live in that love, even though it's a tough times will come, don't get me wrong, it's but we have somebody. It's just like when you have someone in your life that you can just call and say, hey, remember me in prayer. God knows before we dial that he needs to meet this need or that need. And you know, sometimes the needs aren't met the way I think they should be. But thank God for that, because I'm wrong. A lot of the times, the way I think the needs need to be met are not right. And I just thank him for what he's done in me. And if anybody doesn't know him, you really do. You really do need to get to know him, because he is so so loving and kind, and I just love him, and I love to wherever I go. I just feel like, Lord, just help me to be a light, because I just want to shine for you. And if somebody wants to hear about you, then let me open my mouth and just tell them what you mean to me. Because a lot of the times, the only way we can really talk to people is, this is what he's done in my life. This is my story, and now you've got it, and he'll meet you there. And anyway, if your heart's being tugged, don't turn away. Just know that the Lord is tugging it, and now is the time. Now is the day. After I had written my sermon and everything, and I was just thinking, you know, do you guys remember that Sunday school song that we used to sing, at least I used to sing when I led Sunday school? And it says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. You know, the kids used to sing that, and they probably still do. But you know, it is so important to read the Word of God, and it is so important to talk to him, because that is where we get our security and we do grow. And I pray that we all grow in our relationship with Christ. It is the only one that counts. That relationship is the only one that counts for eternity. No other relationship on earth matters like that relationship with Christ. So thank you all today. It's been just I wasn't ready for this. The pastor phones me last night and he says, how are you doing, Judy? You know, and you've got to email me in the verses. And I don't have email at home. And well, Carrie Ann said text. Well, I don't do that either. But you know, the Lord is good. I get here and I give my verses to Sarah and she said, oh, Judy, don't worry about it. Thank you, Sarah. You know, not everything goes as planned all the time, but the Lord has a perfect plan. Amen.
Thank you, Judy. Worship team, could come, please.